Appreciate my grandmother coming all the way from Minnesota to come visit us at church here today. I appreciate her being here, my parents coming, and all of our visitors. Amen. Appreciate you being here, part of the service. And man, I want to thank God again for the souls that were saved yesterday. You realize that the angels in heaven were rejoicing over souls that were saved. And we as a child of God, as a church, should never just shrug off the fact that somebody got saved. We ought to rejoice with them. Amen. It's another soul that's not going to hell. And you remember the day you got saved? I'll never forget it. Every time I witness to somebody and share the gospel with them, I think back to the day I got saved. Amen. I'll never forget that day. There was a couple folks that Brother Bowen and I were talking to yesterday, and they would tell me they were saved, and I would ask them, I said, well, can you tell me about it? Amen. Brother Bowen said, can you tell me about it? And there was some of them that couldn't tell us about it. They know they did it, but they couldn't tell us about it. Well, I'll never forget that day. Amen. I can tell you exactly what happened that day. I'll never forget it. And so I hope to pray this morning that you've been born again and washed in the blood. And I'll ask the question I asked earlier. Are you willing to die with what you have? Amen. I am. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm not going to take myself, but I'm ready to go. Amen. I'm ready to go. Luke chapter number 7, verse number 36. And we'll preach this message for a few minutes this morning. God laid it on our heart. I'm going to read several verses. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 36. I'm going to read down through verse number 50. So I'm going to read fast, and y'all stay with me. Luke chapter 7, verse number 36. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. There's a lot of folks that say that they would never do that. But I'm telling you what, this woman knew who she was. She knew she was a sinner. She knew who Jesus was. And she wanted to get to Him. Amen. Verse number 39, now when the Pharisees which had bidden Him saw it, He spake within Himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched Him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil that thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they sat at meat with him, began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he saith unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. And this is a story that we love, and I'm not going to be preaching on this story this morning. But I thank God that He still saves sinners, amen? Because that's what I was. If I wasn't a sinner, I wouldn't have need for a Savior, but I was a sinner, and I had need for a Savior, and I thank God for it. Now, I can stand up here this morning, and I can thank God that He kept me from a lot of sin. Amen? He saved me from a lot of heartache, and there's some of you could get up, and you could say, God saved me out of sin. We both ought to be thankful, amen? And it seems like that sometimes when God saves someone out of sin and a life of heartache and a life of hardship and God saves them, it seems like sometimes they're more grateful than those that got saved out of it. But we both ought to be thankful, amen? And I thank God He still saves old sinners. What I want to look at this morning for a few minutes, go back with me to verse number 40. There's an illustration God's about to preach, or Christ, in Luke chapter number 7 and verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Jesus Christ is telling Simon that he needs to listen up, that he has something that he needs to tell him. And let me tell you this morning, we need to hear from God. We need to hear something from Him. Every time we go to church, every time we read our Bible, every time we have Christian fellowship, we need to hear from God. That's something we all need, whether we realize it or not. We need to hear from Him. And Jesus Christ had a message for Simon. And I'm here to tell you right now that God has a message for us that He wants us to hear. But we live in a day and age today where we don't want to hear what God has to say. This country does not want to hear what God has to say, but He has a message for us. And I'm afraid that in our churches, and maybe at times in our church, that God has something He wants to say to us, but we're not listening. Amen? I want to preach this morning on dealing with conviction. Dealing with conviction. Where God is speaking to our heart, and He's dealing with something in our life and in our home on dealing with conviction. Now let me tell you, conviction comes in a few different ways. The Holy Spirit of God, it is His job to convict us of our sin. Amen? It's His job. You say, how does that happen? He'll do it when you're reading your Bible. He'll do it when you're listening to preaching. He'll do it with good Christian fellowship. Amen? You come into our Sunday school class, the men's class, we're hard on each other. It'll bring conviction. Amen? You don't read your Bible, we're hard on each other. Man, why don't you read your Bible? Come on, man. Amen? Bring some conviction in there. God has something He wants to say, and I believe He's been trying to tell us something, but we got to listen to what He's saying. I want to give you some examples of conviction in the Bible. Turn with me very, very quickly. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Dealing with conviction. You know, this is one thing that I believe that maybe gets ignored at times in churches, is this thing of Holy Ghost conviction and responding to God. If you've been in church for any length of time, sometimes you can see this in your own life where we become masters at going to church. So what do you mean by that? We know how to go through all the motions. We know how to come in. We know how to go to men's prayer. We know how to go through Sunday school class. And we know how to go through the morning service. And we know how to go through the singing. And we leave out of there and we never heard from God. Does that mean God wasn't speaking? He said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And I thank God this morning is trying to tell some of us, I have something to say to you. And if you would stop for just 1 minute and listen, I've got something I want to tell you. Amen? But we've become masters at avoiding conviction and those things. All right, look at some examples here in the Bible of conviction. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. I'm not going to read all of it for sake of time. But David has committed a great sin with Bathsheba, who was not his wife. Amen? Are y'all okay this morning? It's warm in here. I don't want nobody falling asleep. Amen? So y'all help me out. David here had committed a great sin with Bathsheba, and it was Uriah's wife. It was not his wife. And so the prophet Nathan shows up, and he is preaching to David. And I thank God for preaching, amen? I thank God for convicting preaching. I thank God, man, I try to listen to preaching throughout the week. And you know the kind of preaching I want? I want the kind of preaching that makes me mad about sin. I want the kind of preaching that makes me happy about going to heaven. I want the kind of preaching that will get me fired up to do something for God. Thank God for convicting preaching. Well, Nathan shows up to David. David has just committed a great sin with Bathsheba. He was supposed to be out there fighting because that's what the kings were supposed to be doing. But he stayed at home. He saw a woman that was not his, and he did something very wicked with her. And he went out there with her. And now Nathan shows up and he tells him a story. He's preaching to David. He said, there is a poor man that has this little ewe lamb, and there's this rich man that's got all these lambs and got all these things, and a visitor shows up and comes, and this wayfaring stranger shows up, and this rich man takes the poor man's one lamb and gives it to the visitor. And this is where we pick up here. Look there in verse number 5. 1 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse number 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that done this shall surely die. Man, the preacher got David fired up. You know what he said? He said, man, this poor guy had this ewe lamb, and this rich man had all these lambs, and the stranger shows up, and the rich man took the poor man's lamb, and he gave it to this stranger, and David got mad. He said, that man ought to be put to death for what he did. Amen. He said, good preaching, preacher. Man, that's good. I'm telling you what, that man ought to be put to death. Look there in verse number 6. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. David's saying, you know what we ought to do to that man? He ought to be put to death. He ought to pay back four times of what he did. In verse number 7, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Can you imagine the conviction that fell? Can you imagine the conviction that fell that day? Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And he goes on to preach to David, and he goes on to tell David, hey, you're that man. You sinned against God. Can you imagine the conviction that fell that day? Man, I've been sitting in church before, and I've been listening to the preaching of God's Word and say, man, that's good preaching, Brother John. Hey, man! And the Holy Spirit of God said, hey, dummy, I'm talking to you. Amen. Dealing with conviction. Dealing. You say, how did David deal with his conviction? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse number 13. Verse number 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. You know what he said? God's going to give you mercy. He's not going to kill you. But, verse 14, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. He said, judgment's coming because of your sin. But do you know how David responded to conviction? He said, Oh Lord, I have sinned. He realized, God said, thou art the man, David. He said, I'm guilty. I sinned. Amen. Different people dealing with conviction differently. Look over at Mark chapter number 14 very quickly. Mark chapter number 14. Dealing with conviction. You know what? I thank God that He still convicts. That He still does deal with our heart. Mark chapter number 14 and look at verse number 27 very quickly. When you're there, say amen. Mark chapter 14, verse number 27. David got preached at during the preaching. He found out that he was the one that God was talking to. And he said, I have sinned. He realized he had sinned against the Lord. Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 27. And Jesus saith unto them, this is talking about Peter here, this story, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. All of his disciples were sitting there. He goes, every one of you are going to be offended. Every one of you are going to be upset, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Verse number 28, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. So Peter here, he hears from God. He said, before the cock crows twice, he said, you're going to deny me three times. Now look at verse number 65. Verse number 65. So the story goes on. Christ goes before the high priest here, and Peter ends up here, verse number 65. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face, talking about Christ, and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out on the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to him that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And little after they stood by, said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crew twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. He said, how did Peter respond to conviction? And he went, and when he thought thereon, what does it say? He wept. I'm talking about dealing with conviction. I'm just giving you some examples. We'll get into the message here in just a second. You know how Peter dealt with it? He heard Jesus Christ preach a message. He heard a message from God saying, you're going to deny me and all these things. And Peter said, I'm not going to do it. And he said, hey, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And then Peter, later on down the road, Christ isn't preaching now, but he messed up and he remembered the words of the preacher. He remembered the words of Christ. The Bible says he began to cry. Let me ask you this question this morning. When's the last time your actions or your sin caused you to cry because it bothered you? We have become so numb to sin. Say, what do you mean by that? We can look at filth. We can listen to filth. We can act like animals. We can do all these things, and it doesn't seem to bother us anymore. Conviction's just left the building. The preacher gets up and preaches, and we go home and have roast preacher for Sunday afternoon dinner. Amen. And you know what is common? Brother Heights, well, that's just his opinion. Amen. That's just his opinion. Well, if he's preaching the Word of God, that's just God's opinion. And you need to look into that. Amen. Now, if a preacher's up here preaching his opinion, then, you know, whatever. But if it lines up with that book, you need to check into it, because that's something God said. And Jesus Christ Himself said that He was going to deny. And later on, he denied. And when that conviction fell upon Peter, he began to weep. I can recall times in my life where I had to crawl to the altar crying over my condition. Because you know why? The Holy Spirit of God brought conviction. We see different ways people dealt with it. David said, hey, man, I'm guilty. I've sinned before God. Peter began to cry when he fell under conviction. Look in Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter 2, very quickly. I know we're turning. I don't usually make you turn too much. Acts chapter number 2, I'll set the groundwork very quickly. Peter is preaching at Pentecost, right after Pentecost took place. And Peter is preaching about how they just crucified their Messiah. He said, you messed up. You just killed the Messiah. And he's preaching this message to the Jews. In Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 36, if you're there, say amen. Acts 2:36, and the Bible says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You know what he said? You messed up. He's like, you just crucified the Messiah. You know, sometimes preaching and sometimes reading your Bible and sometimes good Christian fellowship will say, hey, you just royally messed up. Amen. That's why I like hard preaching. I like good preaching that tells me you just messed up. Amen. See, how do the children of Israel deal with conviction that he was preaching to? There in verse number 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked. That's another word that deals with conviction. They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So we find an illustration of David where he said, I'm guilty. I have sinned against God Almighty. We find Peter when he begins to weep. We find the Jews here, and they said, hey, we're guilty, man. What do we need to do to make it right? Peter goes on to tell them how to get saved and get that thing straightened out. Amen. He goes on to tell them, but I want to look at how different people react to conviction. Look over there in Acts chapter number 9. Are y'all still with me? I'm getting somewhere here. God deals with us. He wants to deal with us. God wants a relationship with you. Can you believe that? That the Creator of the heaven and earth actually wants to spend time with you? Amen. We don't want to spend time with each other half the time. Amen. There's some people I enjoy spending time with and some people I avoid. You can figure out who it is. No, I'm just joking. Nobody in here. No, I love spending time with everybody in here. Amen. Praise the Lord. But guess what? You know that Brother Heist, the Creator of the heaven and earth, actually desires to spend time with us. But if your life is full of sin and it's full of things that are unpleasing to Him, and you want to live it however you want to live it, and you want to dress however you want to dress, and listen to whatever you want to listen to, and act like however you want to, and you want to hold bitterness and anger, and you want to hold malice in your heart towards somebody, it's going to be hard for God to spend time with you unless you get that thing right. And so do you know what God lovingly does? The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He what? He chasteneth. My dad loved me a lot growing up. I felt like I was getting chased all the time. Amen. That switch, it was titled The Attitude Adjuster. Wasn't it not? When he said, go get the attitude adjuster. Why? We got to adjust that attitude a little bit. He loved me a lot. That's why I'm so tall. Amen. And I thank God for it. And you know what God will do? He'll send conviction down in your heart because He loves you. And because all He wants to do is spend time with you. He wants to pull you away from that old stinking world and get you back in that book. And He wants to get you on your knees. And He wants to talk to you. And He wants to fellowship with you. And so He sends conviction in our heart and our life. Man, there'll be times where we'll get convicted during the preaching. David got convicted during the preaching. Amen. That old preacher, Nathan, man, talk about a message, Brother Bowen. Nathan's preaching. And he goes, David, I'm talking about you. Can you imagine if preachers did that today? They're just, man, but you shouldn't be shacking up, and you shouldn't be drinking, and you shouldn't be, hey, I'm talking to you. Better stop doing that. Can you imagine that? Talk about conviction. Amen. Then there's times where Peter's standing up, and he's preaching to a big group. He's preaching to the whole crowd. He said, hey, you crucified the Messiah. Preaching to the whole crowd. And then there's times where you heard the preaching and nothing happened there, but you're down the road and all of a sudden you start cussing and swearing, and then you remember the message that was preached, like Peter. And Peter started crying. He wasn't in church, Brother Philip. He wasn't in front of Jesus. But he remembered the message. And he began to cry and said, man, he was talking about me. I'm the one that did that. That's how he responded. He was sorry for what he had done. Amen. Well, bless God, what's that preacher thinking? Amen. Was my wife talking to him? No, somebody better, the Holy Spirit of God. Was my husband talking to him again? Amen. Did my kids go tell on me? How do you respond to conviction? How do you respond to it? Look at Acts chapter number 9. This is Paul, or Saul, before he got saved. Acts chapter 9, verse 4, Saul is going. He had just got done assisting in the persecution of Stephen. He was persecuting the church of God, all in the name of religion. Man, there's some false prophets doing that today, persecuting the church of God spiritually in the name of religion. Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 4. And he fell to the earth, talking about Saul, and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know what? He fell to the ground. That conviction was so strong, and that light showed up, that Paul fell to the ground and went blind. That conviction crumbled him straight to the ground. You say, how did he respond? He got on welfare. No. Amen. He started complaining and whining. No. Look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 6. Or look at verse number 5. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the what?" He said, "You can't fight this conviction." Verse number 6, and he trembling and astonished said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" So how did Paul respond to conviction? "What do you want me to do, God?" Hey, if I'm walking down the road and he strikes me blind and I fall to the ground because of this voice I hear, I can go back there and show you over in Acts chapter number 28 when he's giving his testimony. Paul heard God speak. Other people heard thunder. I'm talking about, hey, can you imagine, you think about thunder, imagine God speaking, and up everybody around hears thunder. They said, "Man, you hear how loud that thunder was?" And Paul's sitting there white as a ghost. "That wasn't no thunder. God was talking to me." You know, sometimes maybe God could be speaking in a service, and you're sitting there, and other people are all daydreaming, and they're down at the beach drinking lemonade, and you hear the voice of God, and all they hear is thunder. But guess what you heard? You heard the voice of God. What did Paul do? "Lord, what would you have me to do?" The Bible says he fell down to his hands and feet. He fell down to his face. You know, sometimes it takes us doing is falling down before God saying, "Lord, I'm guilty. What would you have me to do?" Different people react differently. Look with me in Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter 26. These are just different illustrations. Different illustrations of how different people dealt with conviction in the Bible. And I could go on and on and on with convictions in the Bible. There was a man over there in the Old Testament that took something that he wasn't supposed to. He stole it and he hid it in his tent. And God opened the earth up and swallowed him and his whole family. You want to talk about conviction? Everybody stood around him. They stood up. My dad used to say something along the lines of straighten up and walk straight or something like that. What'd you say? Straighten up and fly right. You see that happen to another family and, yes, sir, amen, we're not doing that. There's all kind of conviction in the Bible. You know what? Every time God's doing it, Brother Johnny, he's just trying to help us. He's trying to help us. So I don't see it that way. Well, he wants to bless your home and family. God wants to do that. Look here in Acts chapter 26, we find King Agrippa. Now, Paul is giving his testimony to King Agrippa about how he got saved. You know what? Yesterday, we're trying to tell people about salvation, how to get saved. Paul is telling King Agrippa how he was born again and how he got saved. Here in Acts chapter 26, look at verse number 27. Paul finishes giving his testimony. He finishes witnessing to King Agrippa. In verse number 27, King, this is Paul speaking. "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." He said, "King Agrippa, I know that you believe. I know that you believe what I'm telling you. I know that if you'll just get saved and you'll be born again, heaven will be your home and hell will no longer be your home. I know you believe." So how did King Agrippa respond to conviction? Verse number 28. "Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." So how did King Agrippa respond to it? It's kind of believable, but that's not for me. It's kind of believable, but he must be preaching to somebody else this morning. Hey, that's just his opinion. You know what King Agrippa responded to it? Almost. Almost got me, preacher. God, you almost got me. King Agrippa, as far as I know, died and went to hell. "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." My question this morning, and I'm going to give you the message. I told my class this morning, about 5 to 10 minutes introduction, and I just blew it this morning because that was the introduction. I'm going to give you the message really quickly. Question is, are you listening to God? How do you deal with conviction from God? And you say, Brother Angel, I don't ever hear from God. Whoa. You know what scares me more than anything? There's a few things. One is stealing God's glory. I don't want to steal God's glory. Everything in my life, He deserves all the praise and honor for it. I do not want to steal the glory of God. You know another thing that terrifies me? Getting down to talk to Him and I can't get a hold of Him. That scares me, Brother Bowen. That God would stop talking to me. I don't ever get convicted during the preaching. Brother Hodge, how many times have you heard people leave a church? And you say, man, you sure are leaving church a lot. And they say, I just wasn't getting fed down there. Now, that might be the case in some of them. But I bet you some of it was, we're so full of the world that we're not coming to church hungry. You forgot to bring a fork. Amen. We come into church and we're slap full of the world. The last thing we fell asleep to last night was watching that television. That's the last thing we heard before falling asleep. God help us if that's how we put our kids to bed. Instead of praying over them or reading the Bible with them. The last thing we heard was that television clicking off before we fell asleep. The last thing we heard before we walked into church was some ungodly music. Amen. We were so full of the world. We come in and we leave out and say, well, I didn't really get nothing today. God didn't talk to me. Well, you weren't looking for nothing. If you came into church this morning and you prayed and said, God, I need to hear from heaven. Would you touch the preacher? Would you touch the Sunday school? God, I need to hear from you. I promise you, He'll talk to you. God will not let you down. But you come in here and you sit through a service and you walk out here, I don't ever hear from God. Well, you're not listening. Because God told Simon, Simon, I have some word to say unto thee. I got to tell you something. You know what, God? Every time we come to church, we ought to come expecting that God wants to tell us something. Every time we come to church, and no matter who's preaching, no matter what's going on, that Bible's open, we ought to believe that God wants to tell us something. And we ought to be looking for it. We ought to be looking, God, what is it? And you get down to the end of the message, God didn't tell me nothing. You know what we ought to do? We ought to say, Lord, what's wrong with me? Instead of, well, we didn't get fed today. Amen. I don't care how sorry a preacher is. That Bible has power. That Bible's got power all over it. And if you'll just listen and you'll just not critique every word and you'll sit there and say, God, I need something, He will feed you something. Every time He'll give you something. You say, well, I don't ever hear from God during the preaching. Are you saved? Have you been born again and washed in the blood? Because one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit of God is to relay what the preacher's saying to your heart. I could preach a message, and Brother Trapper over here said, man, I needed that because of this, this, and this. And somebody over here says, well, I needed that message. Brother Bobby said, I needed that message because of this. And it's totally different. You know what the Holy Spirit did? He convicted his heart about something. He convicted his heart about something totally different because he knows what he needs. He said, wow, man, I haven't heard God. I don't even know. Hey, there's been some songs that have been sung that have convicted my heart. There's been Christian fellowship. I've been talking to another brother or sister in Christ or get a text message with a verse on it and say, whoa, man, I needed that today. Lord, would you forgive me? Would you help me? God will bring conviction, but you got to be listening. Simon said, Lord, I'm here. I'm listening. What do you got to say to me? And Jesus preaches the message about this lady, this great sinner who had all these sins. Said, I have somewhat to say unto you. The question is twofold this morning. The first question is, are you listening? Are you even listening to what God has to say? And the second question is, what is your response? Let me give you some the responses this morning, and I'll be done. What is your response? Number one, is your response an awareness or is it an annoyance? What do you mean, Brother Andrew? An awareness is I'm listening for what God has to say to me. Or is the preaching this morning just an annoyance to you? When God speaks to our heart and God talks to us about our condition and He deals with sin in our heart, is it an awareness? Are we listening? Or is it just an annoyance? Because God has something He wants to tell every one of us in here this morning. And Wednesday night, he's got something he wants to tell us. And next Sunday, he's got something he wants to tell us. And God wants to talk to us. And tomorrow, when you read your Bible, God wants to talk to us. Is there an awareness, or is it just an annoying noise? Amen. If you've been saved any length of time, you know what I'm talking about this morning. There's been times that God's tried to deal with our heart, and it was an annoyance because we didn't want to get right with God. We were enjoying our sin a little too much. We were enjoying our selfishness a little too much. And so is it an awareness of God wanting to speak to us, or is it just an annoyance? Not only that, but number two, is there an admittance? You say, what's an admittance? I'm guilty. Or is there just an aversion? Just advert the whole thing. You know, you know when you advert something, you blame it on somebody else. Amen? Is it an admittance? Lord, I'm guilty. Father, it was me. Or is it making excuses? You know what, David, whenever he said, "Thou art the man," David could have started making all kind of excuses. There's preachers that make excuses for David. Well, she shouldn't have been up there bathing. That's what they did. That was their culture. Amen? Y'all all right this morning? I've heard. Have you heard preachers make excuses for David? Well, that's okay. You know, she shouldn't have been up there. You know, she was just up taking a bath, and he was supposed to be out at war. Amen? However you want to do it. But there's people. It's either an admittance. David said, "I have sinned against you, Lord." You know what David said? "I am guilty." He admitted, "It's my fault." You know what some of us do? Well, if my wife was a little bit better, then I wouldn't be this way. If my husband, if my children. Well, I just don't see it that way. Well, I was brought up a little different. It don't matter. What does the Bible say? It's either an admittance or you're adverting it. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're pushing it away. You're blaming it on somebody else. You're pushing it off on somewhere else. I'll tell you what, we live in an age today where we have an excuse for everything. Well, I wanted to be at church. No, you didn't. I can't believe he said, no, you didn't. If you really wanted to be here, you'd be here. You wanted to be at the lake. Or you wanted to stay at home. Amen. We do what we want to do. Now, I know there's times people get sick and I say, well, I really wanted to be there. Now, if you're dying and you've got a fever, stay home. Amen. But I'm talking about there's people that miss all the time or they do different things and they do not have a legitimate reason. And they say, well, I wanted to. No, no, because you do what you want to do. Because it's amazing, man. It comes time for church or it comes time to read our Bible and there's never enough time. Oh, but there's something we really enjoy doing. And, oh, man, there's plenty of time. Amen. Oh, there's plenty of time to do that. When it comes to the thing, when it comes to soul winning and knocking doors, we don't got time. We're busy. But when it comes to something we want to do, oh, there's all kind of time. Amen? It's either an admittance or averting it, making excuses, blaming others. These are all different ways people respond to conviction. Awareness and admittance. And number three, an answer. It's either an answer or an avoidance. Either one or the other. So what do you mean? You know what those Jews said? What? We're wrong. We're guilty. What do we need to do to fix it? You know what we can do with God this morning? God's been dealing with your heart about something. He's been bringing conviction either to do right. You know, sometimes God will convict you to do right. He might be calling somebody to preach. He might be calling somebody to be a missionary. He might be calling somebody in some kind of service or to do something, and you've been avoiding it instead of saying, "Here I am, Lord, send me." You know what Saul was laying there on that road. He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul got up and said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" You know what he did? He gave an answer to God. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" You know what some of us do? We just avoid it. We just pretend like it's not even there. You get in your car and turn on that ungodly music and the Holy Spirit of God says, "Hey, you know, we just talked about this in church the other day." And you just pretend like it's not even there. We get ready. We're at our house and we're doing things and there's something we're doing or something we're thinking and God starts speaking to our heart and we just turn it up a little bit louder. Just pretend it's not even there. Or we could say, "You're right, Lord. God, would you forgive me? I'm sorry." You know, He knows we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Are you perfect? I see a couple halos in here this morning, but I don't have one. Amen. I left mine in the car. I gotta finish up. It's either you're either going to give God an answer or you're just going to avoid Him. And last of all, there's an awareness, an admittance, an answer, and last of all, an action. You know what that says? You get up and do something with a conviction. I will obey. It's either that or an abandonment. Just rejection of God. Lord, I'm not doing that. I am not quitting. I'm not giving that up. I will not dress that way. I'm not going to do it. It's either one or the other. Either that or, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. God wants the fellowship with you this morning. He wants to bless your home. He wants to bless your life, your marriage. He wants to do all those things. And God, through His Word and through preaching, through fellowship, He's trying to talk to us. Are we listening? And what's our answer going to be? Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand. If God spoke to your heart. Hey, there might be someone here this morning that God wants to save your soul. God wants to save you this morning. He wants to wash you in His precious blood. But man, you've been avoiding it for years. You know Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. There might be some folks in here that you've had some little hidden sin in your heart that God's been dealing with you about for a long time and you've been avoiding Him. Why don't you just give in to Him and give in to that conviction and let God deal with your heart? There's several this morning that have come to the altar. If God spoke to your heart, would you come this morning? Would you just respond to the word? You say, I don't have to. No, you don't. But there's something about humbling yourself before God Almighty and saying, Lord, I'm guilty. Paul fell to his hands and feet. He said, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? God speaks to your heart during the preaching. Respond to Him. Respond to the preaching. Respond to conviction. There's things in our heart and life that God's been trying to talk to us. He's been trying to deal with our heart and deal with us. But it's just become an annoyance. We've been averting it. We've been avoiding it. And we've been abandoning it and just rejecting it. Instead of saying, Lord, I hear You. I'm listening. I hear You. Lord, would You help me? I know I'm guilty. And Father, I'll do whatever You've asked me to do. There's many that have come this morning. We thank Him for responding to the preaching. Anybody else say, Brother Andrew, God spoke to my heart. I need to deal with this conviction. There's somebody this morning that said, Brother Andrew, I need somebody to pray with me. You just raise your hand. We'll get somebody to pray with you. I want to thank God He still talks to us. I thank God He still speaks to me. Thank God for... So why camp meeting? Why revival? Why have all these meetings? So that God can deal with our heart and we can hear from Him. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and seek my face and pray. Not until we do those things, we can hear from heaven. You know what they said after that preaching and that verse? They said, we will not. They said, we're not going to do it. Oh, we need God this morning. We need Him in our home. We need Him in our family. We need Him in our life. There's still some praying. Remain with your head bowed and eyes closed if you would.